Today's reading is entitled The Cathedral of the World by Reverend Forrest Church. Church spoke about the nature of Unitarian Universalist faith using an extended metaphor of a cathedral. This cathedral is as ancient as humankind. Search for a lifetime, which is all you're surely given, and you shall never know its limits. Visit all its transepts, worship at its myriad shrines, nor span its celestial ceilings with your gaze. Welcome to the Cathedral of the World. Above all else, contemplate the windows. In the Cathedral of the World, there are windows beyond number, some long forgotten, covered with many patinas of dust, others revered by millions, the most sacred of shrines. Each in his own way beautiful, each tells the story about creation of the world, the meaning of history, the purpose of life, the nature of humankind, the mystery of death. The windows of the cathedral are where the light shines through. As with all extended metaphors for meaning, this one is imperfect. The light of God or truth or being itself, call it what you will, shines not only upon us, but out from within us as well. Together with the windows, we are part of the cathedral, not apart from it. Together we comprise an interdependent web of being. Because the cathedral is so vast, our life so short, our vision so dim, we are able to contemplate only a tiny part of the cathedral, explore a few apses, reflect upon the light and darkness through a few of the windows. Yet, since the whole is contained in each of the parts, we ponder, we ruminate, and we discover insights that will invest our days with meaning and our lives with purpose. A 21st century theology based on the concept of one light and many windows offers its adherents both breadth and focus. Honoring many different religious approaches, it only excludes the truth claim of absolutist. That is because fundamentalists claim that the light shines through their window only. Some go as far as to beseech their followers to throw stones through other people's windows. Skeptics draw the opposite conclusion, seeing the bewildering variety of windows and observing the folly of the worshipers. They conclude there is no light. But the windows are not the light. They are the light. They are where the light shines through. We shall never see the light directly, only as refracted through the windows of the cathedral, prompting humility. Life's mysteries hidden, the light, God, truth, veiled. Yet, that we can encompass with our minds the universe that encompasses us is great cause for wonder. Surely. I humbly stand in the cathedral of the world, trembling with awe.
So I heard recently that a regular attendee of services here at UUCF calls, very agreeably, calls the sermon the commercial. And I said maybe infomercial was a better term for it. But really, the difference between a sermon and a commercial or infomercial is that I'm really not trying to sell you something. I tried a sales job once while I was in college, and I lasted about 3 days. I worked in a furniture store, and I found myself sitting down with people on the sofas that I was supposed to be selling and saying things like, "Oh, you just lost your mother last week. Maybe now isn't the time for a big purchase." Needless to say, the management and I came to a mutual decision that furniture sales weren't for me. So I'm not a very good salesperson. Because the truth is that I don't want anybody to feel obligated to be part of this faith community if it doesn't nourish them, if it doesn't sustain them, and if it doesn't help them grow into their best self. But the part of this that is like a commercial is, in the best sense, is that I really believe in what we have here. And I want the many people who need it to find it. Because there is something unique about this liberal faith, something that can actually astound. So I remember a conversation I had with my spouse several years ago, not too long before we first entered the doors of a Unitarian Universalist church. I was at a low point. "I've had enough," I told him. "I'm done with everyone and everything." And I meant it. News stories had undone my belief in the goodness of people. Behavior of former friends, associates had disappointed me. The inability of myself to be able to rationally reconcile the faith of my childhood with modern wisdom had left me without faith in much of anything, including humanity. My spouse, seeing that I was in crisis, pressed me further. "There's just no place for me," I said. "I don't know where I belong." Belonging's important. We live in a culture that says that unless we fit into a certain box, we lack value. But the problem is so few of us actually comfortably fit in those boxes that we're given. It can be very hard for us to find our place, our way. And so I was astounded to find a place like that first church we came to, a place where we were encouraged to bring our unique identities, to build relationships, to envision a better world, to traverse our individual spiritual paths while holding the hands of others. Well, the place was the answer I'd been looking for, even if the answer was composed of more questions. First Sunday that we actually stayed for coffee hour, I remember a conversation we had with a member of the congregation. "Don't hesitate to share any questions you may have," she said as we finished chatting. And then as she stepped away, she paused and then turned back to say, "And feel free to share with me any answers you may have." Ever since then, my religion has been to be in love with the questions. Questions like, what do we feel called to do in this world? How do we connect with our better selves? How do we begin to transform ourselves and the larger world for the better? In the asking of these questions, we open ourselves up to receiving at least some ray of that colored light in the cathedral of the world. In asking those questions, we acknowledge the very center of our humanness, our curiosity, our imperfections, our understanding of the limitations of our knowledge. Here in this place, our questions can be our faith. I sometimes forget how radical our occupation of this place of ambiguity is. When I'm out in the larger community, I'm often asked about who we are, which I'm sure all of you get that too when you're brave enough to say you're a member of a church. Some in our congregation are atheists, I might say. Some are agnostic. Some believe in God or divinity. And we're not trying to change any of them. And people get quiet and they lean in, intrigued and confused all at once. They think that people must come to church to be talked out of atheism or to get certainty from their agnosticism or to hear their particular understanding of God preached about week after week. And we don't do any of those things. All we do is ask that you take responsibility for your own faith development, that you make room in your life to grow and evolve wherever life's journey might take you. And sometimes that means someone comes through our doors here as the most devout atheist and one day realize they've moved full circle back into believing in God, though now their understanding of God is very different than it was once upon a time. Or meanwhile, someone may come here believing in God, but eventually move to a place where humanism is what speaks to them, and they decide the question of God is one that is ultimately irrelevant to them. We have room here for all those kinds of movements. Because life is made of movement. And to expect our conception of faith to be stagnant goes against the realities of the human condition. And it's not that your movement will take you out of one category like atheism or theism and into another. You might very well find your faith remains within a certain category. But Unitarian Universalism encourages you to keep finding richness there. More to explore and discover. More to help you understand who you are in your best self. It's one thing to know you're an atheist and know what you don't believe in. It's another thing to be an atheist and be able to articulate what you do believe in. What sustains you. What gives you a sense of meaning and purpose? What lifts you up out of your own concerns into caring for others? Or to believe in God. But then ask yourself, what is God? Is my conception of God concrete or is it abstract, like an idea? Is God a noun or a verb? Or to be agnostic and ask yourself, how important is it that I ever have clarity on what I don't know? What is beautiful and sustaining in the uncertainty in which my faith is rooted on? Where do I find this uncertainty unsettling, and where do I find it grounding? So it doesn't matter what belief system you come to our doors with. The call of Unitarian Universalism is that you will continue to responsibly and thoughtfully engage with these deeper questions. But why? Well, because when we're engaged with what is of greatest importance to us, when we don't take it for granted, then we are more inclined to lean on one another for support. And you hear the closing hymn coming already, right? And when we are more connected, we do the work of justice building, of making that better world that Unitarian Universalism has called us to create. But can I be a good person and not be part of a church? Of course. Of course. But being in community offers us something we can't find on our own necessarily. Support, accountability. Not that we're always aware that we need those two things. So back to my own history with UUism. The very first time, it's always embarrassing to tell this story too, but I share it anyway. First time my spouse and I went to a UU church, we didn't actually get brave enough to go inside. So there were two services at the church that we were looking to attend that morning. And we decided, mistakenly, it turned out, that the early service was likely to be the better attended of the two. So we sat at the end of the parking lot, huddled below the dashboard like we were casing the joint, you know. A couple of really bad crooks here. So I'm counting and I say, well, there's only 18 people. As the service is beginning, and I'm looking around this mostly empty parking lot, and I say, that's not enough. And then Lawrence said, agreed. So we didn't have to explain to each other what we meant. We knew in a crowd of 100, you can be relatively anonymous as a newcomer, but with 18 people, forget it, right? So we came back a couple of weeks later, arriving a few minutes into the second service and leaving just as the closing instrumental began. And this became our routine. Arrive a few minutes into the well-attended service and then dash out as the first notes of the postlude were played on the piano, a beeline to the parking lot, and we were out of there. So we liked the services, there was no doubt. We liked the messages of inclusion and challenge from the minister, who happens to be here this morning, Reverend Karen Stoyanov, struggle and hope. We discovered to our surprise that we liked a church. Who knew? We just didn't want to talk to anybody. So one Sunday, at least, five or six Sundays into our well-established routine, we headed for the exit, just as we'd done the previous weeks. And there in front of the exit doors, arms outstretched, stood a woman waiting for us. Everybody wants to know who you are, she announced. And I was tasked with not letting you get away this time. So we had to laugh, and we too agreed it was time. Time, this woman said, time to get to know the community. And I realized in that moment that I had initially come to this place to find wisdom, spirituality, never even thought about community. And yet here it was, community. This idea of community is central to who we are as Unitarian Universalists. When people ask what our beliefs are, the answer could be, we connect to love through community. Not love is just feelings or Hallmark cards, but love through actions. Actions, as our seven principles talk about, that range from the way we treat those closest to us to all those people out there in the wider world. From the time of early Christianity until the 19th century, Unitarianism commonly focused on reading biblical text rationally, using all available human knowledge, logic, and scholarship, making Unitarians a questioning bunch, not prone to accept irrational supernaturalism or unreasonable social expectations. By the early 1800s, fancy Bostonian Unitarian types were the movers and shakers in American culture. Leaders in things like women's suffrage, abolitionism, and so on, Unitarians believed in human ability to change things for the better. And meanwhile, Universalists said, if God is a loving God, wouldn't God ultimately reconcile with their children, even if those children did wicked things? Horseback riding preachers set off to small towns and villages, spreading the word to average folk that even if they messed up, God loved them. And that paved the way for universalism in its more broad understanding, that all religious paths are valid ones for finding the divine. That cathedral with all those different windows, but the light is one. So how did these ideas trickle down today now that these two strands were joined together in 1961 when Unitarian Universalism was formed? Well, we come back again to this idea of connecting to love through community. Because to be wise and visionary, rational and hopeful, like those early Unitarians, requires us to be in a community that offers us insight, supports us, but also holds us accountable. And to be like those early Universalists, to keep showing love to one another is hard to do when we are not in relationship with others. It's hard to love people we just see on our TV screens. Even if we're sitting in our lushly appointed living room with a big screen TV, it's just not real people. When my spouse and I found our way to that UU church all those years ago, no wonder we weren't looking for community necessarily. I think we'd been conditioned by dominant culture to believe that life was about our individual concerns and needs. But keeping us apart through the perpetuation of the myth of the rugged individualist ultimately keeps us weak. For it's when we come together that we are strong. At church, we found community and we found love. And so here we have this love to share. this love that this faith offers us that welcomes in wisdom from what we call our six sources that range from the world's religions to scientific teaching to earth-centered traditions. But the truth is that all wisdom is welcome here. Poetry that moves us, voices culled from the margins of society, and your wisdom. What you bring is welcome. All wisdom is welcome as we explore life's glorious mysteries, its eternal questions. So let us welcome in new patterns of light. Let us see the cathedral around us as lit by the multi-hued glow of all who come before, all who will come after, and all who are here now, answering the challenging but joyful call of life itself. So it's the end of the sermon, end of the commercial or infomercial or whatever you want to call it. And it's also the beginning of everything.